see it the way it is from God. You know? Any other example that you can think of in the Bible?
Yeah.
Peter, when they were praying for him to get out of jail, mm-hmm. there was a belief.
Okay. So then, in Acts 12, right. They're praying for Peter. He's in jail. He's there at the door knocking, and they're saying, no, it can't be, he's in jail. And she's saying, Rhoda, wasn't it Rhoda?
Yeah.
No, it really is him. He's here. Yeah.
It must be a ghost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they missed the thing, you know. But, okay, let's say another part about it is, when you realize that God is here doing this, you get adjusted. You just get adjusted to it. And you just say, well, I have to mow a lawn to get the money. And actually, God is speaking to me that he is providing for me. I just need to be awake to what it is that he's doing, right? And when the Jews came out of Egypt and they went into the wilderness, they didn't have any water. They didn't have fresh water. So what God said, they don't have water, and what did God do? But he showed him a tree. And that's another example, you know. We don't have any water, and the Lord says, tree. And you're saying, water, tree. You know? It's like, you know, giraffe, crocodile. You know, they don't match, so. But they do. I mean, it is God, right? Okay.
I have one.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a different view on what we're saying about thinking about getting a certain result from something. You know, thinking you're going to get this result and you get another result. Was when the prostitute, they caught the prostitute and she ran to Jesus and everyone came out and wanted her to get stoned. And the, you know, the I don't know exactly where that's at in the Bible, but then, you know, they all wanted to have her stoned because, you know, in the law she did wrong. She, you know, committed adultery, you know, and she was a sinner and she needed to die, you know, and then Jesus came in and gave them a whole different result. Like, okay, so, you know, he who has no sin cast the first stone. And then, you know, everyone, little by little, just kind of, well, I guess it's not going to go that way, so I'm just going to have to let this one go, you know, and drop all the, you know, everyone ended up dropping all the stones and just walking away. And then she ended up getting saved, you know? So it's like another perspective on trying to get a result that you thought you were going to get through the law, and God coming and saying, that's not how it's going to work here. This is how it's going to go down,
right.
You know? So I think that's pretty cool.
That's good. Like, it's like getting adjusted and thinking God's way, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe we need to be corrected a lot.
And having to self-reflect. They had to look at them first and be like, wait a minute.
Yeah, they had to say, let him without sin cast the first stone. I like what you said, like as they're dropping the stones, they're saying, well, I guess we better get out of here.
Yeah.
It's not going the way we thought it would.
Mm-hmm. We might be next.
Maybe we'll come back.
We might be next.
That's, can you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Drop the stone.
Drop it.
And get out of town. Get out of Dodge. Okay. Getting adjusted. Anybody want to say anything? Proverbs 6:22-23 says that the way of life is by being corrected.
Yeah.
Alan, it was so great being with you. And Rita, it was so good. You're a good translator.
Love you guys.
And Rita, wasn't it good when Cassandra said, I came to the church in the morning and get the word, and wouldn't it be great to do that every day?
Every day.
Yeah. That's what she said.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Like, let's meet God every day. Wow. That's amazing.
Beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Wake up and see the Lord first.
Tonight?
Yes, I'm gonna do my best because of God. Yeah, I'm gonna be there. You know,
sounds good.
Yes, I actually got that little paper. Oh, I don't know. But for now, I gotta get the little one. All right, guys. Bye. Bye.
Thank you.
Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Alan.
It's an adult thing. Anybody else have a comment or question?
I was just thinking from the reverse perspective, the people that are sitting in their homes and we're doing outreach, they're the ones that are hurting and wishing God would come talk to them, wishing God would come through in some way. And if they're open at all, when we knock on their door, that is the answer for them. And they're usually hurting enough that they'll take anything. They're not telling God how the answer has to be. And we need to always remember that for ourselves, so we don't tell God what kind of answer He's supposed to give us. Mm-hmm. And if they're hurting enough, they're open to anything. And we should always be open to God in the same way.
To add there, though, I think that then you come into the church or you get the flyer, and it doesn't look like a church. Where's the steeple? Where's the pews? Where's this? Where's that? You know, so, you know, there are sometimes expectations. I didn't feel the Spirit. It wasn't emotional enough. You know, different things that we may hear or face that wasn't prophesied. You know, different, you know, things that we hear from time to time, just being here in Miami a little bit more. You know, I think it was said this week that we put our projections on God instead of allowing God to be the one that's ultimately expressing himself, showing his nature and character, but we try and make him into our image, or, you know, that was you, Rochelle.
Yeah. That's good.
I don't know if that is related to what you guys are talking about, but sometimes when we go to churches, the way the people want the pastor to operate is not what God wants. The pastor, to me, should operate the way God wants him to operate. Whatever the people says, I don't know, is not the important part. What is God is saying to the pastor is what is important.
Yeah.
To me, because the people is looking for something, and only God give the right things. Mm-hmm. So I hope every pastor know that. Listen to God, not to the people, because you're gonna have a lot of them coming and telling you, oh, you should do this way. Yeah, so it's only God.
Can you give an example?
An example is, well, I used to go to a church. I spent like 4 years in it, and it was more like, you work for your salvation. So it's like, and then it was so good. You see the love of God. That's where I received God. But then the people come, and the people start telling the pastor how he should do things. Then he start following them, and then everything start going down. So it's like, that's why I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like that. It's what
God says. Sometimes, let's say, people would like the pastor to be legalistic.
Seek, yeah, legalistic.
Or maybe like the church they came from. Maybe it's they want to see miracles,
mm-hmm.
or more emotional, or yelling or shouting. Or also they may want prosperity doctrine to be taught. They want to be... hear about how we can get money, and they want to succeed and
become the best you.
And, you know, become the best you.
Oh my God.
Like you improve, but without the cross.
Right.
You know, you do the best. We have a good church, and it's about being good and about giving and the and messages that maybe make us feel happy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about the Bible, much, some of the Bible is written so that we would cry. Some of the Bible is written so we would be rejoicing. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the Bible is written so we would be quiet. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the times we would be shouting. So sometimes we'd be very close with each other. Sometimes it's like God is speaking to our hearts, and we feel like it's not about our community, it's more about our vertical relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And our fellowship with God. So the pastor, Pastor Ken, and Pastor Chris, they have a lot of responsibility. Mm-hmm. Because they want to hear from God and give a message that will edify us and get, you know, mm-hmm. give us the right way. But I would say we have the freedom sometimes pray for the sick. We should do it. Mm-hmm. We can talk about prosperity, but in the context of the big picture. Right? Mm-hmm. Any comment? You know, what do you think? The legalism is one thing sometimes. And in our church in Baltimore, sometimes people come to me and they say, you know, like, the reason I come here is because I feel there's love and there's wisdom. Mm-hmm. And they learn something. Yeah. But then maybe in another church you would go there and you're looking for something else. So our church doesn't have, we don't have, not every, you have to just come for 1 year to find out what is the church about. Mm-hmm. Because it isn't always this way. It can also be this way. You know? Mm. Yeah.
I think it's because the church is living. It's like we're a living body and we have to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what... Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Cassandra is saying, it shouldn't be the church is about me and what I want. Mm-hmm. It's more like I need to learn, like, what is it, Terry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What Terry is saying, and John was saying, like, God is doing this. Mm-hmm. Let's be awake. It might not be my way, mm-hmm. but I want to be seeing what is God doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But sometimes people from charismatic or Pentecostal churches, they're not satisfied with our church because they want to see more prophesying, casting out demons, miracles, you know. So we would say to them in this rap session, okay, no, we're not saying those are wrong things, but could it be that we would be able to sit in a room and there aren't any miracles, and there isn't any casting out demons, and there is not any strong emotions? No. Is that, could you imagine that, you know, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think Pastor Finn preached on that when speaking in tongues, and then we're going through the reasons why, you know, the purpose of it, and we looked at the books of Acts, and it was for a purpose. They spoke in tongues for a reason, to be edifying and for to be translated to the people. So an action can be taken. It's like a diagnosis. You diagnose with something to take action for something, mm-hmm. not for pretty or just to show off for any reasons. In some of those, the churches, they do it. It's just, okay, somebody's speaking in tongue and doing things. Who are they speaking to, and what is it saying? What's the purpose? Is God trying to say something to someone? And mm-hmm. no, it's like sometimes you don't see any response, and it's just done for, at least from my perspective, and I'm not condemning anyone who does it or anything like this, but anytime that I have seen it done, I have not seen any purpose driven. It's not for to help the people to be converted or to hear something that God was saying, and you know, and it, which is different from what was done in the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So. Amen.
That's a good example. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's scary. To me, I was telling Alan about, even though maybe there's no prophet or someone that's going to prophesy your future.
Mm-hmm.
But the most scary part, I believe in Matthew, Jesus talk about when the people come to him, he say, I never knew you. When God says that to the people. And I'm like, I don't want to be that person.
Mm-hmm.
And then God say, and the people was like, oh, we prophesy, we did miracle, we did all that. And he say, no, I never knew. Like, the most important part to me is to know Christ and,
yeah.
you know his word and be with him. That's it. He didn't show that the miracle was the biggest part. He said that this generation will only seek signs. He says that in the gospel. They only seek signs. He did it because of the people. He didn't do it just, you know.
Yeah.
So I just see it that way.
Yes. Yeah.
So all his miracles were purposeful? Is that what it is? They were done for not only to heal but to save the person.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, there was even some that said, you know, why was this man healed? They wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
It says, so God would be glorified.
Yes.
That's what Jesus' answer was.
Yes.
Yeah.
We look at a miracle for this amazing, you know, thing to take place. And I was thinking about that, and that's so good how you were saying. I think it relates even to this morning's message of these dead works.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we bring the attention to me.
Mm-hmm.
And our eyes are completely off of what we're there for. And if we don't have this experience, if we're not seeing that, then that church is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit's not moving, because obviously the Spirit's going to move in the way I want it to move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they look at it. Pastor, so the dead works then, and where Cassandra brought up, you know, didn't we do this in your name? It sounded like a lot of works were going on.
Wow. Yeah.
But God didn't recognize any of them. And would that be part, what is that, 1 Corinthians 3, wood, hay, stubble? Is it that part of the, you know, that part of the thing that is done in the flesh that I think I'm doing it for God, but it's going to be burned up. God never even notices it or takes any action in it at all. It wasn't for God that it was done, you know. Is that the same thing that you think as dead works? The wood,
mm-hmm.
hay, and stubble?
Yeah.
Yes.
You want the short answer or the long answer?
Every answer in the rap is ministry.
Pastor Foster.
Yes. Pastor Foster what?
Pastor Foster answer. He,
was that the short
yes.
one?
He would come.
Yes.
We did this in St. Pete when we came up, drove up there, and we would be in, everybody would be talking about some topic, some subject. Pastor Foster would walk up, he'd say, he'd be listening for a while, and then he'd go, hey, well, what about this? And then he would just turn around and walk away and start laughing. And they're fighting with each other over there. You know, he would do that a lot.
Instigator.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He would just, he goes, well, what about this? And they go, huh, that's right. And they would start going ahead with it. He would just laugh and just start walking away.
No, what I'm talking about, signs and wonders, I just tell people, signs and wonders are beautiful things, and God wants us weaned off of them as quickly as possible.
There you go. That's a great answer.
Because they're ambiguous, and they're not as clear as the word.
Yes, that's how
And
sure.
they can be misinterpreted. They're symbolic. They're and they can be
short term.
They can also be false. I mean, they can be demonic. They can be counterfeit. So as soon as you see brand new Christians who are so excited because God answers every prayer, and then they start realizing that they're not the boss of God.
Mm. Thank you.
And
that's
like
so
that.
Good.
So I was like, you know, God is there in places
but,
that maybe don't have the Word of God. He is quick to try to support a person that's bringing the Word. But the sooner we get off of needing them, the further we can walk by faith.
Uh-huh. Yes, I got something to say about that.
Bring it, Cassandra, bring it!
Even though I read the Bible many times, right? The minute if I pass 3 days without reading the Bible, I question if I'm saved. So it's funny, right? Like, your mind is like, I don't know, if you don't read the word, the ugly thoughts
right.
just come in and make you crash. And,
that's right. You need God's thoughts.
In that place you are with God. And so to me, the word is important. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Then
that's what we
want to
teach.
Wow.
Nothing else.
Yeah. But that's so great. God is so good that sometimes you get those thoughts, those questions, and you doubt yourself, but He reaffirms them.
Mm-hmm.
And He doesn't leave you, you know, stranded. Like, you know, yesterday we were talking to Kelly, you know, we were talking about, you know, we were having that conversation, and then it's funny how God can just, you know, sometimes He just comes right away and changes your mind. Sometimes He takes days or months or whatever. And, you know, whenever He comes, but He always...
Is the Word of God enough to sustain us?
Yeah.
The Word only.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to be taught in.
Yeah.
Because these other things could be from something else. You know, they could be.
Mm-hmm.
Satan's going to do amazing miracles, you know, in the tribulation. I mean, he's going to be raising people. I mean, he's going to do amazing stuff.
Yeah, revelation.
And many are going to flock that way. Many.
See, God wants to be clear.
Yeah.
His word is written to be understood. It's not written in some, you know, mystical, super secret code.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's easy to misinterpret signs and wonders, and you can make it mean whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So.
Well, 2 Peter 1:19, the more sure
word of prophecy.
Word of prophecy,
more,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it also the case that, like, with signs and wonders, and I think we've all touched on a little bit, Satan would love us to live by sight, and these signs and wonders, like things that we can see or things that are tangible, and that's generally what we're looking for. We're looking for a sign that's something that's, you know, evidence to me. You know, like I think of the doubting Thomas. I have to see his, you know, hands. I have to see his feet to know that it was Christ or whatever. And Jesus actually came and did answer that, but we don't live by sight, we live by faith. And I like what you said about weaning off of the signs and wonders, because the sooner you get away from having to see this physical evidence, which is temporal, He's coming in eternity, stepping into time to give you a temporal view of something eternal, why not have the eternal giving you a glimpse of the
right.
eternal, which is the Word, which is the sure testimony.
Jesus gave the Pharisees the three specific messianic signs that they demanded.
Mm-hmm.
And each time He did it, they upped the ante. He said, well, tell them about this, how about this?
Mm-hmm.
And then when they rejected Him the third time, He said, no more signs. All you get is a sign of Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no more signs. And
right.
after that, His miracles were purely compassion.
Yeah.
He said,
He got annoyed.
Yeah, absolutely. He was
annoyed.
Fed up. And that's when they accused Him of working with Satan.
He wasn't in the flesh, though.
No, never.
Like some people in this room.
That's when they accused Him of being a wine bibber.
No,
because you can be annoyed but not in the flesh, is that right?
Yes.
You can be angry.
You're just done casting your pearls before swine.
What's that?
You're done casting your pearls before swine.
Yes.
And that was when the Pharisees accused Him of working with Satan.
Yeah. Don't talk to me like that.
What do you mean by that?
What did you say?
Isn't that righteous indignation?
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you think, John?
Well, that's when it's time to tip over the money changer tables.
That's us.
And get your ropes and start beating people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even the Pharisees, too. Don't you think
imagine, huh?
Like, even with the Pharisees, don't you think it was like, because I know for myself, well, maybe it's in the flesh, but when I hear people putting people under law, it just, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's what made Jesus mad, too.
Yeah.
Jesus only got mad when people used religion to hurt other
people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or to put them in, put them in bondage.
Yeah.
Hey, if you think about the world and the history of the world, religion is really a tool of the devil.
Yeah.
It's an invention of the devil, yes.
Yeah. And it's really used powerfully to destroy people.
Yeah.
In the name of God.
That's what he was saying to someone today. He said religion killed Jesus.
Yeah.
Put him on the cross.
Put him on the cross,
yeah.
The other things are money. Is the love of money a bad thing?
Mm-hmm.
The love of
Tell
money.
Me it isn't.
Yes. Hate to break it.
Sorry,
hate to break it to me.
But the love
it's loving it, I mean.
Loving it.
I mean, loving money. We have a problem with that over at this table.
Oh my goodness.
No,
send me.
I'm the bags for this.
Way to cover your eyes. There's two at the table. Not me.
So the question is, who's being offensive?
But I said, you guys are one.
It's so
why
funny.
Are you saying that's you?
You're single, you don't know. Yeah. Okay, what was it? That's okay. Are you good?
Now, I'm listening to you talk, and on one side we have, you know, the
money changers.
No. Okay. I'm talking about here in America and Florida in particular. But, you know, we have the charismatics and the Floydies and the, all the stuff that, you know, we've been talking about. And then on the other side, we have people like who are the King James only. Mm. Yeah. And so I see people who get bounced back and forth.
Never.
So I was going to ask Pastor Schaller, can you have any wisdom about King James only thinking?
Do I have wisdom about it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just haven't run into it that much. I don't know why.
You're up north.
Huh?
You're up north.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Pastor Norman.
Me and John, we just talked about that at breakfast today.
You made
an amazing statement.
Oh, good. Let's hear it. Was it recorded? Is it on YouTube?
Hang on.
It's being recorded now.
I don't know what I said.
I want to hear it.
I don't know what it was I said.
Oh, it's
well,
cut.
It was to bring a. Like an evangelistic movement out.
The people love the King James because it was basically what started the missions and global missions.
There you go.
Of the 18th, 19th century. And people say, this is what spread the gospel around the world, and I'm going to stick with it. And most foreign translations of the gospel are translated from that. So we can appreciate it and love it. But Pastor Stevens was the first to correct it. When it was, because it doesn't go from the original manuscripts. But I think that's all we were talking about.
Yeah, that was about it.
You know, I like pointing out that I can take any Bible and give them the message of salvation, even a Watchtower one.
Which we did.
You can do that. You have to use the Old Testament. They forgot to butcher the Old Testament properly.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I guess you have to do case by case, like if somebody's saying, you know, King James only, it's like, what other issue, what other important element is there in your faith? What's the important thing, right? I mean, could we have a discussion about that? Like, you can talk about King James only, but like, if Jesus was here, what would he want to talk about? He said, "You tithe on the cumin and the anise and the, but the weightier matters of law. What are the weightier issues? You know, right? Don't you think that would be a good point of discussion?
Where'd you go?
You can have King James only. I mean, you can. I don't really know what exactly it means. Do you mean that if I had love in my heart and was spirit-filled believer in Christ, and I was reading an Amplified Bible?" You're saying, what are you saying about me?
Yeah.
I think you're talking about
that. It depends who you're talking to, but, you know, some people would say that any translation other than the King James is victimized by conspiratorial and demonic thinking.
Or liberal. But you were talking about the difference between the emotional...
translation.
The emotional... side on one side, so and then the real ridge on the other side. Yeah. And what you're really describing is Phariseeism and Sadduceeism. Right. We will see both of those things all happy to come against Christ.
Right.
And they both come against the gospel and the finished work. So I think we can look at both of those as a common watering down of the real message. Like, sure. What's important to talk about it.
Yeah.
And what
I have a question.
Don't need that mic.
What I would say, just to add on, is just, and I don't know how we categorize it at Greater Grace, but, you know, let's look at first-tier and second-tier issues. You know, are they a believer? Whether, you know, can we, you know, and that has to be the forefront. You know, the can they, you know, say that Christ, you know, came, he lived a perfect life, he was virgin born, he died on the cross, he was raised again. You know, can we proclaim these, you know, first tier truths together, whether, you know, maybe they're more King James only, or maybe even more emotional. You know, I think that, you know, can we proclaim first tier, can we agree on things, or are they from, you know, are they someone else? You know, I think of, you know, in scripture where they're saying these people are casting out demons in your name, it's like, okay, if they're not, you know, if they're not against us, they're for us. You know, so, you know, let's look at the first tier issues, name that. You know, sometimes we're just so bumping of heads, you know, and you know, I think that God is doing good in a lot of churches, and the devil's equally going, you know, in a lot of churches. And that can be throughout any denomination or any stream, you know.
Right.
Did Christ pay for all sins?
Amen.
Even the sin of using the wrong translation? So if we can get past that, we can still have fellowship. Yeah. You know?
He, speaking of the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I have a question. I might be hitting this on a different angle about the King James only, but I think back to Martin Luther's day where there was such a freedom from the Catholic Church when he was able to translate the Bible into the German tongue for the local people to have the Bible. Now, I don't know if he utilized the King James to...
That's before the King James.
Just the Latin.
That was before.
That's right. So he used the Latin, to create the Bible in German terms. So, like, you know, and that was applicable for that time. I mean, I can imagine being someone in that time frame and you get this revelation that all these things the Catholics were making you do and you're basically just raising money for them to build something instead of actually doing something eternal for you that, you know, when we think about this... when you guys say King James only, I'm thinking of interpretation, like you're saying, like is there error in the way that the Bible was translated as opposed to something else. So I think back to, you know, the Holy Spirit will always make the word relevant, and I think there's a passage in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, no, test all things and hold steadfast to that which is true. You know, that the Holy Spirit will always bring that truth forward no matter what version. Like sometimes I'm reading the King James and I'll see a term I'm not familiar with and I'll go back to the Amplified and kind of be like, oh, so that's what that means.
We're talking
and I
about
can
that too.
Right. Right. You know, so I, you know, I might start out in the King James version and then ultimately I go to the Vines or I go somewhere and I'm exegeting and finding out what's really, you know, so is that
I like Vines too.
Yeah. You know,
but
so
I think though too is the King James only, the argument isn't against the interpretation. The argument is the theology and the doctrine of the church. So you have like, what is it, the Baptist church that is always protesting against the veterans or protesting against, you know, and really getting in people's faces and angry, you know. They're always on the news. What Baptist church, like an independent
West
Baptist church.
Baptist.
Oh, West something,
that,
yeah. You know,
they're out way out.
Not to be confused with the Christians.
Right. Yeah, but what I'm saying is you get there and it's they don't share first tier issues. You know, there's no common ground in there that, you know, and I think almost we can say the same, you know, with the ones that are extreme charismatic, that, you know, they're teaching another Jesus. You know.
Okay.
You know, so I mean, it's not a brotherly fight, you know, or disagreement amongst one another of a secondary or a third, you know, issue. It's a first tier issue, and we don't have any common ground here, you know, and a lot of times with someone that's extremely charismatic, Pentecostal, believe in yourself, do what you know, there's no good in me. We're not teaching that. Or, you know, someone saying that, you know, just constantly bashing you with legalism, law, and never preaching gospel.
Yeah. I was just thinking of King James only, like that's the version that you can't really get the truth from other versions of the Bible.
I tell the King James only people that I'm a Martin Luther German only.
Exactly.
I got them beat by 200 years.
I was just thinking that God inspired him to do that, so it was applicable for that time, and that's what was there for the German people, you know, and then later on, you know, the King James came along and, you know, they interpreted the Bible.
Our modern translations, like the good ones, anyway,
right.
They have older manuscripts than King James had.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You can find little problems with all of them. Do they reveal Christ?
Yeah.
And yes, they
do.
And God's the one that's faithful to make sure that happens.
But,
yeah.
And I think there would be, let's go to Timothy, 2 Timothy, mm-hmm. of all scriptures, God breathed, you know.
All scripture.
And that was Pastor Jeff, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did it. Yes, yeah.
You know, it's all inspired.
Is he going to do his ordination exam?
Can he ask? I mean,
he's got
something on everything but that, it seems.
Are you going to pick up the kids from school?
Jojo's crying.
Jojo's crying at school.
That's right. That's a good point.
He's got alternative excuses. That's that part.
But this is,
I'm familiar with that.
This one is a good excuse.
But it's not true.
It's not true. It's a lie.
Yeah.
Don't look at me differently, Cassandra.
It's all over now.
Yeah.
You're busted.
Is Burnett's coming? Oh,
yes, they'll go be here tonight.
Oh, praise God.
When I first came to Florida, I had a Bible study in Haines City, and it really started to take off, and then somebody found out, they asked me, did I speak in tongues, and I said no, and that's all I said about it, you know. Nobody came back.
You weren't truly saved.
So, and then I had another study, and they found out that I was going to preach from the New King James Version of the Bible, because I could understand it, you know. And they didn't come back. So it's like, you know, it's like two systems of thinking that beat up on people and really
should be happy not using the living.
We're not. You know, like, that's the way people think about these camps, you know.
Wow.
And we're not in either one of them. We're outside the camp. And, you know, you've been in Europe. And do they make issues about translations of the Bible over there and that kind of thing?
That's interesting.
Yeah, the native people, oh, they can. Because there are, like, say, Hungarian, the King James Version. In the Hungarian, this is the Károly Gáspár Bible. That's the King James, okay? He's the translator. That's the older one, that's 17th century. Then there is like a newer translation. So there is some discussion in the church about which one they use amongst themselves. But they are listening to me, you know, preach in English, translated into Hungarian, so they realize language issues. I think much more than monolingual countries like America,
right.
is bilingual down here, you know, but, and you folks are, you know, Creole and Spanish, and but a lot of Americans just think only in terms of English, you know, So yeah. In Europe, it's much more multilingual.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't.
They understand
the. They understand that issue is that what is the Greek and the Hebrew saying?
Yeah.
Mm. You know. You, right.
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, King James will
language.
Even fight against that though too.
That's what I'm saying.
Greek and the Hebrew, they'll even fight that.
They will look you in the eye and say, if it's King James is good enough for Jesus, good enough
exactly.
for me.
Exactly. Yeah, they don't even want to go Greek. Hebrew. They don't want to go any of that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, but if you
they will say that.
They will. They will. I mean,
because mine has red letters.
Yes. We know Jesus.
But I love the red letters.
I do too.
Special
too. I love them too.
I do.
I want to make a red letter Old Testament edition.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
I love it. Daniel, Isaiah.
That is good.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wants to make a red letter Old Testament edition. That's good.
Yeah. That is true.
That
that's
is
a good
so
point.
Christ in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, that would be amazing. You should do it.
Shazam. Well, I mean, think about this. You're in Greece. You're preaching in Greece. And like I'd say I am in Cyprus. The believers are reading their Greek New Testament. Mm-hmm. And I have a King James Bible, you know. And it's like, I realize they're reading the Greek New Testament. I'm teaching from my English, and I'm speaking English, and it's translated into Greek, you know. So, I mean, it would be very arrogant of me to make a judgment on them that they are reading the Greek New Testament, and I am the one that has the inspired version of the Bible.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You're correct.
That's like ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
And even telling them they must learn English in order to get the right understanding of what the text is saying, which is totally backwards.
Right.
Right.
But it shows you that these people and that are talking in these terms are not educated.
They're eisegesis instead of exegesis now.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking... Yeah. What is
this? I won't say they're not educated, it's just the blindness is obvious.
Or maybe ignorant of the
spirit. Like, how can I be so arrogant?
Just willfully.
Yeah, it's like a party spirit.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a lack of love. It's just not right.
I was
however, I was in Kansas City. They invited me to preach there at a Baptist. This is Sam Miles. And they are King James only people.
Yeah.
But they never talked to me about it.
Right. Oh.
They never talk about it. I never heard it. I was there for 3 days. I never heard one discussion about it.
Wow.
They never talked to me about it. And they listen to Greater Grace, and they want to be like Greater Grace.
Mm.
So they do use only the King James, and they do tell their people this from what I understand, but not when I was there and was never brought up. So there has to be love. Exactly. And if there's love, then, I mean, am I really going to fight over that thing?
That's it could ridiculous. Be a preference that has nothing to do with fellowship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which goes back to the discussion, which is the guy on the rooftop saying, God, I prayed for help, but, you know, you didn't send it. And there are many, like, many elements to that story. And the primary one is that God is here. Are you awake enough to realize... Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're blocked into King James only when God is speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, did you hear the guy use the Amplified Bible and he spoke from the Holy Spirit?
Wow.
Were you awake enough to realize it, or were you stuck in your blindness? Right?
Mm-hmm. Don't we want to encourage people to read the Word, and if they're reading the English Standard Version and that's where they're at and their understanding as far as the... I remember Pat talking to Pastor Timothy, and he was saying, sometimes I go to the New King James, because I guess for him not having English as his native tongue, he said it's a little hard for me sometimes to get the meaning of that, of the King James. So
yeah,
he'll use another reference to kind of help him understand, that's what they're saying in the King James.
Yeah, the Finnish, old Finnish Bible too, like the same era, you know, the Finnish Bible, but then they get the new version, because all these countries are also producing new versions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, I don't think that these people, okay, there could be some But if it helps you understand the text, I mean, what's wrong with that? Isn't it good?
Right.
No, nobody's out there deliberately misinterpreting and butchering it except Watchtower or maybe a few other places.
And the reason why, there's a couple of reasons. One is a spiritual reason, but the other one is financially. If my book, if the Bible is not going to hit pass the test, then my business will not work.
Right.
Because people are not going to buy a phony Bible. I mean,
that doesn't speak to them.
It doesn't speak to their heart. My target is to Christians that read the Bible, right? They're the ones that are reading the Bible. I mean, I may be wrong on that, but I mean, just think about it. Like, I don't think a real legitimate business would want to, you know, do it intentionally.
Yeah, with maybe the one obvious exception.
Which one?
Watchtower.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're
the only ones that have.
You recently were in Israel.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And there you made some statements about Aramaic. I know people that say that Jesus only spoke and understood Aramaic.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a hard time with that.
I know a little bit about it. I'm not an expert on it. Pastor Ben knows a lot about it.
Yeah.
He would say Jesus spoke Aramaic. I mean, it's understood, it's believed, they knew he spoke Aramaic. But in religious language, like when they were in the school and in the synagogues, they spoke Hebrew. Because they felt like when you're speaking about God and about the scriptures, you're speaking Hebrew.
Right.
But then when that's kind of like sacred.
Okay.
And then when you are with the people in the country, you're speaking Aramaic. And there are, like, it's very similar, but they are different.
Mm.
And that actually Pastor Ben said
when
that.
When the Syrophoenician woman came and spoke to Jesus, It doesn't make an issue. She's different culture, different language, perhaps. Did it make an issue about what language she was speaking?
She would have spoken Aramaic, too. That was just a common. It was a mishmash of Hebrew and other things, but Aramaic was the common. And then you have Greek, which would have been like the commercial and like maybe intellectual language.
I would, Jesus was a carpenter for a long time. Yeah. I would think that he'd be fluent in all those languages so they could speak to a broad spectrum of people, and to say that I don't have a problem with him being fluent in Aramaic. I have a problem with him being exclusively in Aramaic.
I haven't heard that.
I would be surprised if he said that. Be only Aramaic. I mean, that would have been.
He studied Hebrew in school.
Yeah.
He knew
synagogue,
Hebrew.
And even the authors of the Bible.
He read it.
Right.
So he was taught at least in that,
And the authors of the Bible, who were not highly educated people, they certainly knew their Hebrew.
Well, I mean, this mindset would say, okay, well, what is the original scripture? Is it the Peshitta, or is it, the Greek and...
Well, at some point, we just have to know that God is the one that keeps his word and preserves his word. And we don't have tape recorders.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I just would like to get wisdom from other people about how they've thought about some of these things.
Mm-hmm. Aramaic would have been the common language, kind of like Swahili. Everybody can speak that a little bit if you want to talk country to country. But then you have native indigenous dialects as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that was
another comparison is like the Jews in Germany, they spoke Yiddish,
right?
So they had their Hebrew that they knew, but then they spoke Yiddish with each other, so it was the Hebrew was maybe they kept it like sacred. But then a version of the Hebrew was the Yiddish, which was a mix of the German with the Hebrew.
Right.
Yeah. So, maybe there's a parallel. Jesus spoke Aramaic and Jesus taught that way. But when the scriptures were written.
Yes.
Bye.
See you guys later.
Tonight, okay. Right? Woo.
Tonight.
Yeah.
Good night,
Cassandra.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
See you tonight.
All right. Good night. See ya.
Okay. Speaking about average.
She's 22.
What?
She's 22.
22.
Very stupid.
Oh, it's charging.
One thing that I was thinking of as you were teaching too about, I believe like the dead works it correlated with, but I was thinking of a coworker that went through AA.
Yeah.
And how that program is so much driven on you constantly having to give back to someone else, constantly having to, okay, I did so much wrong. Now I got to pay it forward, and I got to invest in someone else, and I got to keep on doing this, and you know I never get out, you know, in the confession that hey I'm still an alcoholic or I'm still this, you know, it just constantly keeps you in that circle, you know, but that correlation of we can do that to ourselves and allow us to drift away from this wonderful salvation,
yeah.
You know, and like how it can be so similar.
Yeah.
You know, I believe it was Pastor Foster that the message about the grace soup.
Yes.
That he did.
Grace soup.
Sounds
like a great message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
memorable.
Yeah. Sorry.
Was it mushrooms?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kelly.
Give you a dose of grace soup, and I know he talked also about. I had somebody you talked about.
Did you say gray soup?
Gray soup, yeah.
Are you saying gray?
Grace soup. Yeah, greater grace.
It's all about the glottal stops that we're talking languages here.
Yeah, sorry. I'm trying to remember it.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember now. There are a couple other teachings that he did are coming to mind where he was talking about scooping out, that's when you're refining gold.
Dross. All I know is your message today was wonderful.
Yeah.
What a great salvation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to get caught up and thinking of anything below that.
Yeah.
Such a trap.
Mm.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It is, and also how we can neglect it.
Think
about neglecting. What could we think of to illustrate it? You know? Like there's something very, very great and it's neglected.
Mm.
What would that be?
Mm.
I mean, you got to think of like life in practical ways. It helps people understand.
Right.
It slows the message down and helps people understand what you're saying.
I've got a winning lottery ticket and I left it in my drawer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
You know,
yes.
Just keep forgetting to it. And
I
the
deceitfulness of riches.
Pastor Ken, grace soup.
What?
Grace soup, where
Pastor
did that come
Foster's
from?
Pastor Foster's teaching on grace soup. Remember
oh.
that?
Grace soup.
Grace.
I'm trying to remember.
Not gray.
No,
grace.
Death in the pot.
Death in the pot. Porridge.
Oh, okay.
Porridge, yeah. That was.
Death
oh.
in the pot.
Oh.
At convention.
No, I'm okay. Thank you. I'm with you, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, he wants to lay down.
We don't know. No, we don't know. We don't know what it is. I don't know
what?
Where you're going.
Oh.
This
okay.
is it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm happy.
But we might want to leave before Friday
rush hour.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that.
Whenever you want to leave, we can go.
Parking lot.
At least heading up there.
Do you want to take a little rest
by
before
three.
We go?
No.
We're at your
then
mercy.
Then we can hop
can
in
we,
the car and
probably
go.
By
can
three.
We,
let's go.
Can we get into their church?
What time are they getting their stuff?
I haven't talked to them.
Right,
he was working.
Oh, I cleaned up.
But what was I thinking? What the last thing was?
Neglect.
About
neglect.
Great salvation.
Yeah,
about neglecting.
He said the winning lottery ticket, but I neglected it.
Left it.
Yeah. What else could you say?
Yeah, that wasn't too good.
Well, that's not bad.
Just, we need something that can be neglected for something a whole lot less.
Yeah.
You know,
well, Well, I mean, I guess that it could be the family, though. I think a lot of times, you know, you're at work, you're doing all these different things. Like the husband that feels like, as long as I make enough money, I'm taking care of my family.
Okay.
You know, and he's showing that he's taking care of his family by doing a lot of good things, of getting money, of being able to provide for vacation, give them toys, give them things, give them possessions. But he's never spent a time with them, and he's really neglected them, and the kids don't know their father. They haven't been, you know, taught. You know, and he would say that I've been doing it this whole entire time, but it's been neglected. And I think, and the church, like it's that, you know, with. I think when people are drifting away, they don't know that they're drifting. It's like you're in the beach and you're in the inner tube, and you wake up and you're like, wow, I'm out there. You know, it didn't happen overnight, or that, you know, it didn't happen instantly. It's taken some time, and it catches you off guard in the drift.
Wasn't it when he was teaching? And then we were talking about how it's lesser of a value.
Yeah. Like, you know? College football, I was thinking of, and this year, it really, remember, we did the worship class.
Yeah.
We did the worship class. And we put the idol worship on. And then we changed our time of outreach to in the middle of game time on a Saturday. What I'm saying is,
stuck down, man.
What I'm saying is, our outreach time conflicted the football time. Like, we went, instead of doing it in the early day when we used to get it earlier, it moved to in the middle of the...
Saturday's our high early day. Okay?
I thought it was hot. That's why we wanted to do it
was hot.
On the day.
It was hot.
No,
that's
but... what I'm saying is, Listen. We went from the morning... We used to go from 9 to 10 and we would get home and we'd be able to watch the football game.
Yes.
This year... We went later, so you're missing like three games.
Except you stayed away for a couple of your games.
But the only thing about that is,
I don't have cable TV.
There's a good thing about this though, because if you outreach at 3 o'clock, people are likely to be home. They're watching the game, so they might.
And they yell at you for interrupting.
Yeah, that's right. Guys, PBRs.
But you're gonna be home.
but for me, it was like you have this lesser thing. You have this lesser thing of college football, and it's fun. But you get what I mean.
Bottom line: good is the enemy of the best.
Exactly, and that was my point.
Where do you want us to do this?
I'm not getting our dates. I'm out of here.
He ain't going nowhere. God's
You're embarrassed.
God's got a hold of him. God's got him. He ain't going nowhere. Wow, that was good.
I guess I gotta go to Puerto Rico.
forget your ordination.
Pastor Matthew likes me.
Keith, how much have I tried to tell you? Less is more.
Less is more. Less is better. Less is better.
And it was my dessert.
It's less
he
people.
Was me my dessert. Hey, I'll take you down no matter how much.
This is good.
Amazing. That's amazing. We're going to have good Sunday, too.
Yeah, no, just so was taking a lot of it home to her mom. I'll let her know if you can have some, Keith. You might be in timeout.
Poor Keith.
You know I love you.
Let's see if there's anything behind the...
Run!
Run! What are you doing with the ice dumpling, right?
I think it's...
Do you want this, too?
It's been touched and everything.
Will your mom eat it?
I think so. Actually, we
take it home for the kids.
Yeah.
Take
hey,
a pop.
Is it? So I think it's Steve. Steve
give it to her so she can have it.
Okay. I think it's Steve. That puts the plea in there because Alan was here.
They like the wrist.
Yeah, they do.
He was so clean though when I was his roomie.
He's clean. Oh, he's clean. You want it like this and you just put it in your own.
Yeah, no,
sure. I gotta, we gotta get the bathrooms and everything else.
Okay. Let me see if that.
Yeah, that's a keeper, that dessert. I make another one similar, that's pistachio, for like the pudding.
Oh yeah.
You mix it with stuff, oh, it's so good in the summer. And then another one, like a banana split.
Okay, no, that's seriously.
Yeah, that's seriously really good. We want to baptize.
Oh my gosh. What are you doing with the butter milk?
What, baby?
The milk butter or the cheese?
Yeah, I gotta throw that. That's gross.
Yeah?
Shall I cover it up though and put it there?
So, how much should I take?
I'll just do it. You want to take it home and
this? I'm sorry. I think she asked if I wanted to take some.
Oh, you can take it home in the.
Watch out.
Actually, is that
10? How many? Let me see.
No.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So, 9.5.
Take a bowl. Do you want bowls?
Oh, I can take just the plate. Why did you ask if it's 10? You had somebody in mind.
No, I said, is it a tin? I thought it was a container that had...
Do you have 10 people to us?
I'm done, don't talk. I'm done, you know what I mean?
I'm sorry. I thought
she said 10 too,
and
I was like,
what?
Oh, you thought that too? Yeah.
What if I want to switch the tin?
What about this on top? There's an aluminum foil that I can take.
Oh,
yeah, go ahead. All right, we'll check the visit.
Oh, hey, is this thing still running?
Huh?